Welcome to the Interior Health Nursing Grand Rounds, a podcast conversation. I am your host, Allison Thomas, and on this podcast, we talk all things nursing and healthcare. I work as the clinical nurse specialist in the Trauma Services Network in Interior Health. Interior Health would like to recognize and acknowledge the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Dakal Dene, Tanaha, Inglekatma, Shawepam, Statliam, Sioux, and Chicoltean nations, where we live, learn, collaborate, and work together. I'm so happy today to introduce you to our guest, Nicole Delaney. Nicole, I'm actually just going to pass it over to you. Can you introduce yourself to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So hello, everybody. My name is Nicole Delaney. My pronouns are she, her, and I am joining today from the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Sioux Nation. I am currently in an interregional knowledge coordinator role focused on preceptorship education. And so really a focus on how do we support our learners in the workplace and some tools and tips and tricks for us as staff in supporting those learners in our workplace.
Thanks so much, Nicole. And I asked Nicole to come and just give us an overview of preceptorship and exactly some tips for us and how to proceed and how to start off right. So yeah. Maybe, Nicole, could we start with the most basic? And can I ask you, what is preceptorship? Who does it involve?
Yeah.
Who can be a preceptor? And is it different? How is it different, I should say, to a mentorship relationship or a unit educator or how we work with university instructors? Is it different at all, or could you speak to that?
Absolutely. Great question. So when we think about preceptorship, it is a more formal, structured learning experience. We have a preceptor and we have a student. I refer to them as learners. So as I go through my session today, if I'm referring to students or preceptees, just know that I'm using the language learner to be inclusive. Between that preceptorship relationship, it is kind of a one-on-one kind of formal relationship between that preceptor, between the learner. And it's structured in a way, or it's more formal in a way that it follows a learning objective kind of pathway. And so many of the learners are going to be coming from post-secondary institutions like colleges, universities, specifically speaking to nurses. Of course, that's the nursing program and any of the nursing training. And then also too, we have some IH training opportunities and specialty education. So those students that fall in there, those preceptees, those are also kind of considered learners, and they would be falling under that preceptorship umbrella as well. And so, yeah, that difference around that, I when I think about preceptorship, that formal piece is that there's learning objectives from the education program or from the education institution. So they're really guiding or leading some foundation around what this learning experience is intended to complete. That can be different depending on the type of program, and that can be different really depending on the level that that learner's at. Maybe it's based on the year that they're in or the level of within the program, but that formal piece is really just that there's learning objectives. Now, in terms of who is involved, so it can be, or who can be a preceptor, it can be, or we usually want it to be one of the experienced staff members on in the workplace, the unit or the department or within the team. And I hesitate around experienced when I hear the word experienced, because I know when we think about the term experience, we think about those that have been, you know, working a long time, and, you know, we have to have a certain number of years to be able to support learners. But I really think that as long as that preceptor has the experience in being within that workplace, they're able to create that orientation space, they're able to, you know, help navigate the learner in those learning goals, I think that anybody can be a preceptor. I don't want to limit it to just those that have like X number of years, because that sometimes is really hard, especially in our workplaces where we've had a lot of new staff coming through and people with varying experience. And so even those that maybe don't have the same level of experience as others, I think they can still be really good preceptors, and especially because they have been in that space before. They've recently been at a learner in a learner role, and so they might have a really they might just have a different view on what it means to be a learner and how they navigate some of those learning experiences. And just because we're a preceptor doesn't mean we have to know everything. And that's impossible. We can't know everything. There's so many changes in healthcare. And so going back to that piece of, I think, linking a little bit with experience, but even just if we don't know the answer, we can find it together. That can be a really cool learning experience with our learners as a preceptor, is it's just owning that we're always learning and that we'll look it up together. And then that helps the learner even create that understanding that we can look things up, we don't have to know everything, and then how do I find the answer? How do I find those resources? So that's a piece around the preceptors. And so I think just how it's different than when we see mentorship or when we see our unit educators or even the instructors, the difference is it is more of that set one-on-one time. And I think just that formal piece, that the formality around the learning objectives maybe makes it a little bit different than those other roles that you had asked about.
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. Thanks for explaining that. Now, I think especially because I've been in practice for a while and I've heard my colleagues express some anxiety around being asked to be a preceptor. And, you know, we know that it's part of our professional roles and responsibilities to help bring students and new grad nurses and even experienced nurses in new areas. It's part of our role to help bring them into the fold and get them comfortable and sometimes help even orient people to our units. But I think I hear anxiety about filling that role and people feeling like maybe they aren't well equipped. And I'm wondering if you could maybe outline you as quite an expert in this realm, and I'm not, I'm just speaking from what I've heard. What are some common concerns or anxieties on both sides of the preceptoring relationship? Could you talk about that? Is there anything you hear commonly from folks?
Absolutely. And even just speaking to your comment around that nervousness to take on the role, I remember back in my day, when I was about a year outside of being a new grad nurse at the hospital that I was working at, I was actually approached by my manager to say, hey, we have students coming. Would you be interested in being a preceptor? And I actually responded to her by saying, like, you can't trust me with a student. I'm only a year out. And she was like, what are you talking about? You're going to be great. And really supported me in understanding that, again, I didn't have to know all the answers. It's about finding the answers and creating that supportive space for learning to happen. And so I know for myself, that was a big anxiety. I think just that first time doing it can be really stressful. And I think part of that comes from expectations. So as a preceptor, what is expected of me? What does that actually mean if I'm supporting a learner in the workplace? And what is going to be expected of me, even of what do I have to know? And will I know everything? And will it make me look silly or dumb if I don't know the answer, right? And so the expectations piece, I think, is huge. I think that goes for our learners as well. I think our learners, when they're coming into our workplaces and for different learning experiences, they might actually have certain expectation based on a previous learning experience, or maybe even based on an experience or lack of experience that they haven't had a chance to navigate that yet or be part of a preceptorship. So I think the first concern is about expectations, or the first anxiety I see or I hear about in with people sharing is around expectations. I think when we aren't clear with expectations, that can lead to a lot of stress. I think from a learner's perspective, also that space or that sense of feeling welcomed or feeling like they're enough. So if a learner, again, has limited experience or maybe lots of experience, but are going into a new space, that can be really scary. That can be really stressful. And so from a learner's perspective, that safety piece, feeling welcome, feeling like they're part of the group, that's probably a big piece of the anxiety. Of course, that can be established or that safety can be established kind of in the beginning time in that orientation piece. From preceptor's standpoint, I think it's around that struggling learner. I think we all worry of what happens when I have a learner that's struggling, like what if I don't know what to do? And so I think that's a big piece to think about. And also kind of being curious on what are my resources. So if I was a preceptor and I had a struggling learner, who could I reach out to? So I could be reaching out to obviously my leadership team in my workplace, my unit or department that I'm working in or the clinic, but also to knowing that the education program has usually an instructor or a knowledge coordinator or a facilitator that's connected with that. They're a huge resource too. We often think about ourselves as preceptors with us and our learner on an island on our own, but really there's people within our team. And if anything, the education programs, it's really a triad. So it's the preceptor, the learner, and the education program that's really part of that vital learning experience kind of relationship. So leaning to those individuals. But when we have a struggling learner, I also really encourage people, our preceptors, to think about what is the source of struggle? Like, what is the struggle? And then what might that be? Where might that be coming from? And also, what are the strengths? So if our learner is struggling, looking at those pieces that the struggle is present, but also what are they doing really well? Maybe we can translate some of that over to that struggle and help mitigate some of those issues that are being had. So when we look at a struggling learner, I do get to talk about it. I have a bit of a workshop that I get to facilitate with the staff, which I'll talk about a little later. But in that, we actually talk about, like, what is that source of struggle, or what is the actual struggling signs that we're seeing? And then being curious, asking our learners, what are they feeling about this time together? So again, knowing that when we have our struggling learners, it's not just us having to find all the answers. We can have a conversation with our learners, be curious about what they're experiencing and do they feel like they're struggling, and then also looping in the education program or institution to help us support as well. They often have a lot of tools and resources we don't know are available, so reaching out to them is really important.
That's really great advice, Nicole. And I think what I hear you saying is that a lot of the worries that people have is around this feeling of kind of isolation in the role, and that they're supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be the expert and they're supposed to be able to solve every problem. And I think what I hear you saying, or what resonates with me, is that there is actually a community around these learners and we can reach out, and it doesn't have to be all on one person's shoulders, that we can work together to support our learner and also make sure that patients are safe and well cared for, and that we can do both of those things. Is that, am I hearing you right?
That's totally right. And I love that you said the term isolation. I think we know within healthcare that, you know, we all work in teams and we all have, you know, many members that are working within our team, maybe not even within our same discipline. The same goes for preceptorship. We have many people within our team that can support that learning experience. You know, of course, with that term preceptorship, I said it's a one-on-one learning experience, so it's a little bit deceiving that way. But at the end of the day, knowing there is a support behind the scenes that helps with that. And I think knowing that we have that support behind the scenes makes it feel more comfortable to take on a new role like being a preceptor. It can be really scary if you don't know who's behind you. So knowing that you don't have to figure it all out yourself, or that it has to be perfect every time, we can learn as well as preceptors. So thanks for bringing that up. That's great.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so we've already talked about more of things that we might worry will go wrong in a relationship, which is pretty on brand for me. I always like to start with, like, what's the worst that can happen? And we dial it back. But could you maybe outline for us, what would an excellent preceptor-preceptee relationship look like? What would be, if you could, out of thin air, conjure up the perfect scenario, what do you think that looks like?
What a dream that would be, too. I wish this for everyone. So I think the first piece in creating that successful relationship is having time to actually, and saying having time with a bit of an asterisk, I guess, but having a moment to actually clarify roles and responsibilities or expectations. So everybody's on the same page. Again, when we have unclear expectations, that leads to more stress, or that leads to discomfort or breakdown in communication. So if everybody's on the same page, that's going to be really helpful as a starting point. The other piece is we are hearing a lot now about psychological safety, and psychological safety is vital for a positive learning experience. It's really important. So if we can create a psychologically safe environment, that's going to help the learner to feel that they can take those interpersonal risks, like asking questions. And, you know, if they're asked a question, and they don't know the answer, they're not going to be judged or feel stupid for not knowing. So creating that safe space, and we'll get to talk about that a little bit later. The other piece is, and again, linking with psychological safety, is that space of open communication. So they all are like interconnected. I really find that introduction time helps to create that safe space and to create that space of open communication. So the first part would be that introduction time and making sure everybody's on the same page. But then I think as that time continues on, or as we go through that preceptorship experience, having that space be safe, and then having that open communication, that we can have those check-in times throughout our time together. And really highlighting that, the importance of checking in as we go. Hey, you know what? In the beginning, we talked about, as a teaching style, this works really well for you as a learner. Is that still working for you? Or is there a way that I can change it in a different way as a preceptor to make you feel better supported in your learning? So just knowing that, having that open communication, we can kind of ebb and flow to best support our learners. And again, with the preceptor role or being within the preceptorship experience, us as preceptors, we get to learn so much as well. We get to have feedback on, you know, what works really well as a teaching style, or what works really well to support our learners, and then we can grow from that too. So really exciting potential on both sides. Obviously exciting for our learners. They get to learn and meet their goals. But as a preceptor, I always found it helped me kind of dust off my feathers and ask questions mm-hmm. and grow and develop professionally. So
mm-hmm. Why do I actually do it that way, right? When you Great. Get asked and you think, yes. oh gosh, you know, you're just reinforcing to me, Nicole, that everything in life is about communication. You yes. know, we know that. We know in healthcare 100%. How important errors and, yes. you know, suboptimal happenings in healthcare are almost always in some part related to communication. And we also yeah. know that, I think, in our personal lives with our partners or our kids maybe yeah. or our friends, that our problems are often communication problems. And so yes. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised that the key to success in every relationship seems to be communication. So that's a really yeah. good reminder for us all, myself especially. Yeah. Can you tell us, so if I'm a nurse and I get informed, or however it happens, you agree to your preceptor, and I know that I'm getting maybe my first or maybe even my 31st preceptor yeah. coming, how yeah. would I best prepare to receive that learner? And do you have yeah. any suggestions for me how I would go about that?
Yes. Well, I have some more formal suggestions. So I'll start with some of those formal pieces first. So if people are looking for education, this is my opportunity to do a bit of a plug for my workshop. And with that, just knowing that we have a workshop available. It's 7.5 hours. It's delivered in person as well as virtually. And attendees who participate in the workshop or who register for the workshop, you actually get paid to attend, which is awesome. So it's a paid learning opportunity. There's also pre-reading modules that are linked with that. And it's actually, it kind of builds the foundation around the workshop. And those are, UBC had created e-tips for practice education. So there's different modules around teaching and learning and supporting learners in the workplace from a preceptorship standpoint. So we have those available. Attendees who complete those, or staff that complete those modules, get paid up to 4 hours for completing those modules as well. So exciting paid opportunities there. With the workshop, of course, I'm very passionate about that. It's facilitated by me. And with that, we touch on the concepts that are reviewed in the ETIP modules, but then we take it a little bit further. So we do get some hands-on practice. We do get some, it's not just me talking for 7.5 hours. There's discussions and group work and things that kind of keep us engaged. And so really highly recommended. If you haven't attended that before, I would love to see you. And if you have questions about that, you could always email ihpreceptorship@interiorhealth.ca. The other thing around kind of formal resources or formal things to prepare ourselves is we actually have a SharePoint page. So we have the Preceptorship and Mentorship Community of Practice SharePoint page. If you go on InsideNet and you just type in preceptor and hit search, you can find that as the first result. So that's a great resource to find some things to support you if you're going to be a preceptor. One tool that we do have on there that I always like to highlight and I do talk about it in the workshop as well, is we have a tool or a document called the Preceptorship Agreement and Learning Style Form. And it was actually a form that was created by the Specialty Education Regional Knowledge Coordinator team and has further been adopted and some of the language slightly adjusted just so it's able to be used by all disciplines. It's not nursing specific, but it's really just a tool to help structure that introduction time. So like I talked about, that setting expectations, making sure we're all on the same page. We are literally going to be on the same page. We're going to work through this document together. It's, I think, 2 pages or 3 pages double-sided printed. So it is, you know, it's a working document, but really helpful to get to know our learners. There's a space on there to talk about different experience. That experience piece can really be important to know from our learners in terms of their past learning experience or where they're coming from, but also sharing our experience as preceptors. So, you know, in my own career, I may have gone through whichever professional path or journey. That's really nice for our learners to know. It opens up their minds to possibilities of what's out there in healthcare. So using that tool is really helpful in really setting the stage. So I would say that is a really helpful starting point. The other piece to just consider when you have learners joining you in the workplace is, and this is something that I used to do when I was a preceptor, is knowing that my learners are going to be asking me more questions and knowing that my learner might be wanting to know where the resources are found or where the answers are. I sometimes gave myself a little bit of a few minutes to even refresh myself on where do I find those resources, you know, with resource pages changing or how we find our answers changing. It was nice to take a little bit of time to prepare myself mentally. Where do I find my answers so that I could help my learners find those answers when they came with me? So, that's a few kind of tips and tricks, but just knowing that there are resources out there, I think, is a really great starting point with us in Interior Health, is that we do have the SharePoint page and then the workshop and such. So feel free to reach out if you're needing more. I'd love to hear from you guys. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's great to know that there are supports from our own organization, you know, to help us be successful. And I think that goes a long way. Again, it's not all the responsibility of one lonely nurse. We're really coming as a team to try to support as best we can our learners. And so that's really valuable to know. And then Nicole, so if I wanted to take the preceptorship workshop, how do I sign up for that? Is it on iLearn or where do I find it?
Thank you. I think I got so excited to talk about it, I forgot how to get to it. So it's through iLearn. So iLearn 1778 or 1778. All the sessions are there. I do have sessions in person across the region. I've got to do lots of travel within this role, which is lots of fun. And then we have the virtual sessions. And the only difference between the in-person and virtual sessions is really that they're virtual. So anything that we were doing in person in small group work, virtually we do in breakout rooms. So we still have the ability to mimic some of that. And so it's still engaging and interesting. I know 7.5 hours in front of a computer seems like a very long day, but I do my best to keep everybody engaged and, you know, enjoying themselves, and maybe a few cheesy jokes are put in there too. So, so they're both available on iLearn for registration.
Okay, great.
Yeah. We do recommend attendees attend on their day off. That's easier. Mm-hmm. But if attendees are wanting to attend on a day of work, just know that you'll need manager approval to attend. Okay, and that happens too.
And I get the Preceptorship Pulse, I think it's called, in my inbox. Is it the bulletin? Could you just speak about that, and how do people get that coming in their inbox if they're interested?
Absolutely. So the Preceptorship Pulse is also available on the SharePoint page. It's something that just started earlier this year, probably in the springtime, and it's a monthly highlight on different teaching and learning resources or philosophies or concepts. And so with the Preceptorship Pulse, it's usually just like you had shared, a bit of a bulletin or a quick highlight. It's like a one pager. They are shared out through the educators. So all the educators, regional knowledge coordinators throughout Interior Health, they're shared out that through that pathway. And then those members are usually sharing out broader or further. If you see them posted in your workplace, some of them will have a little QR code on them, and those QR codes are actually able to be used with your personal cell phones. That sometimes is tricky with how we store things on the server, but they're actually kind of hidden behind the scenes on the external server. So we can actually use our personal phones for those and save them for future use. So
that's great to know.
That's one thing I always like to highlight, because, you know, QR codes are sometimes tricky, but.
Yes. Yeah. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Could you, sorry, I'm taking us a bit off track, but can we come back? What are some of your, if I'm thinking, or I know that I'm getting a preceptor in the next semester, do you have maybe three top tips for me as the preceptor? You know, what would you suggest?
Yeah. So my first one, and you kind of touched on it already, is promoting safety. And mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned patient, client, resident safety. So that's a priority. So that would be one of my first tips, is we want to make sure we're promoting safety, promoting patient, client, resident safety, as well as following best practice. So again, that kind of links back to that, like finding resources and finding the whys behind the scenes, but also creating that safe space for learning. So promoting safety goes both ways. We want to have safety for our patients, clients, residents, and we want to have safety for our learners to feel safe in asking questions and having those open communication or having open communication. The other piece that I always really highlight in the workshop and that I'm really, it like resonates so strongly with me now, is that space around curiosity and being curious. So not only are we getting to being curious about our learners and, you know, like, who are they, but also what experience are they coming from? If they came from a negative experience with learning, that can really impact them joining us, or vice versa. If they had a really positive experience, I want to know about that because I want to mimic that as a preceptor. So learning a little bit about their experience, as well as even where are they at in their learning, that's going to be really important to know. If they have any personal learning goals, that helps to create the learning for them to be a bit more specific to them. It allows them to have a bit more control. So they're going to come with learning objectives from the program, but what are their specific learning goals that they have, and how can we nurture that within their learning experience with us? Also being curious with how do they learn. So we know with learning that we all learn in different ways. So again, maybe with their past experience, they learned in a certain way, they learned or were able to create connection in a really cool way. Let us know about that. We want to know about that because we can maybe nurture that or support that as well in our preceptor role. So going back to that curiosity piece, I also, when we talked about our struggling learner earlier on in our chat here, that curiosity piece comes in there too. So I know sometimes it's easy to make assumptions, especially based on our own experiences with different situations. But if we're curious, that helps take that away. So if we can just be a bit more curious than maybe we were before, that might help to create that safe space. And then my third tip is creating connection. And so we talked a little bit about the safety piece and creating connection and getting to know our learners to help them feel safe. But it's also about creating connection of information. So how can we as a preceptor help the learner to learn better, or how can we have it really stick in their mind? And I find with that, it's sharing the why. So when we have something to share with our learner, or a fact or information or whatever that is, if we're able to share the why behind the scenes, the rationale behind that, that's going to help them create that connection. It's going to help it stick in their mind best. So helping to create that connection is going to be probably one of my top three tips.
Yeah, those are great. I think perfect things to have top of mind. So for my imaginary preceptor student. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Nicole, now do you have any kind of favorite resources that you would point nurses towards if they were keen to learn more about preceptorship? Are there any books or websites or articles or a podcast perhaps? Is there anything out there that you would point someone to?
So obviously UBC's eTips for Practice Education for like that very specific preceptorship kind of resources or education is going to be a great starting point. And then I think because I do feel like a lot of the themes or the concepts around preceptorship, there is overlap. It isn't necessarily just preceptorship. It's how do we support each other in different learning situations, or how do we welcome that new person into our workplace, or how do we talk to people in our personal lives? And so the UBC's eTips for Practice Education, of course, for the very specific preceptorship resources, but I really love kind of tapping into that psychological safety piece. So Amy C. Edmondson is kind of the guru of psychological safety. So she has a few books out and she's been featured on a number of podcasts. So I have listened to many of her talks. She's really great to listen to. Also, Adam Grant is fabulous. He has written, again, a few books. More recently, he put out a book about, I think, the unlocking one's potential, but there's other, or hidden potential, I think is what it's called, but it's all about unlocking potentials. But he also wrote Rethinking Thinking. Anyway, so he has really good books out there that are really, again, going back to that space of curiosity. I like Adam Grant. So really anybody that's out there that has some of those tips and tricks around communication or providing feedback or, you know, navigating those tough conversations, that can be really helpful for us in supporting, I think, any of our day-to-day life, but really with our preceptors or preceptees or learners as well, kind of being clear and creating that connection.
Good to have a reading list for the new year. So
yeah,
that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And now, I guess the most important question I think I have, Nicole, is if there is a nurse sitting out there listening, thinking, yeah, oh, I want to do that. I want to be more engaged in preceptoring. I'm interested in that. Or, you know, I've done that in the past and I haven't in a while, but I really loved that experience. If there's someone out there hungry to engage in this space, how do we go about that? Or what would you recommend to get linked in?
Yeah, absolutely. So if they're wanting to just know more information around the precepting role or being a preceptor or what resources are out there, I would be happy if anybody reached out to me. And you can reach out to my personal email, or you can reach out to ihpreceptorship@interiorhealth.ca. I keep an eye on that email as well. So I'd be happy to hear from you around that. But if you're interested in becoming a preceptor, it's talking to your manager, letting your team members know or your leadership know that you're interested, and they would be helping to facilitate that in that when we have learners come to join us in our workplace. But if you're needing more information, reaching out to me would be probably a really good start. Yeah.
And before I let you go, because your time is precious, Nicole, I'm wondering, is there anything that you didn't get to talk about today, but you think is really important to share, and you would be disappointed to leave if you didn't get to talk about? Do you have anything in your mind?
Yes, I do have one thing. I probably have many things. Great. I'm probably going to leave here and think of many. But my one thing is, in the earlier spring, we introduced a campaign called Our Students' Name Is, and we're actually refreshing it. So this kind of winter, fall season, we're doing a refresh on the campaign. The campaign's actually been renamed. So it's no longer Our Students' Name Is, but it's now The Learner's Name Is. And it's all about creating inclusive spaces and welcoming spaces within our workplace. So it was actually inspired by another campaign. It was a campaign from 2013 called Hello, My Name Is. And the Hello, My Name Is campaign was by Dr. Kate Granger and her husband, Chris Poynton. And in that time, Dr. Granger was actually a patient in the healthcare system and experienced or recognized how important introduction is within the healthcare system and creating safety within that. But there's actually been a lot of research that's taken that further and recognized the importance and the themes around that, and has taken that further around learners and how important it is to create welcoming spaces for learners. So the Learner's Name Is campaign is a really, it's something to create that inclusivity or that mind of inclusivity, but it's really a simple way to start creating some welcoming spaces, and simply by referring to our learners by their name instead of calling them student or the student or learner. And with that, our learners get a sense of belonging. They'll have a positive experience. They're going to be motivated during their time with us. And then with that, they're going to be motivated to return. And I think back to even when I was a learner, I felt really welcomed into a space. And because of that, I actually planned to like pick up and move to that space or move into that town so I could work there forever, because of literally it was one shift that I felt so welcomed and so included within that team that I was like, this is a sweet spot and I feel so safe here that I want to return. So creating those creating those moments or finding those moments where we can create inclusivity is really important to create those safe spaces for our learners. So highlighting that the theme around that, but really that you're going to be seeing a lot more about the Learner's Name Is campaign. We're doing our bit of our refresh, and we're really excited about the new conversations that it's going to help inspire.
Oh, wonderful.
So thank you.
So much value in that, Nicole. Thank you. So I would just like to thank you so much for your time and your expertise. Yeah. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. Quite a unique role that you have.
Yes.
Lots of work I can always see coming out of your desk. So thank you tremendously for that. We do desperately need new nurses to settle into our health authority, and we want them to be happy and safe and excellent, and we want them to stay so that we can all get our vacation and and that our patients are well cared for. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
And then I would just like to thank, as always, the Interior Health Professional Practice Office for supporting this project. If there are any questions, concerns, or suggestions for future episodes, you can get a hold of us at professionalpractice@interiorhealth.ca. And would like to thank our marvelous Dwayne Walwin, who is our sound editor and does all the magic behind the scenes and is very kind and patient with me at all times. So thank you again, Nicole, and we hope to have you back again.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for joining us today. We know you're busy and your time is valuable. Thank you for spending some of it with us. Thank you for your commitment to your profession and to your patients and being a part of the journey of building a culture of excellence around nursing in our health region.